Chapter 27. Seventh cycle. 49 units. Covenant battle calendar. Aboard fleet carrier Sublime Transcendence, in orbit above Joyous Exultation, System Salia. The Ungoy Kwasas knew his place aboard the Covenant supercarrier Sublime Transcendence. He was to be trod upon under the boots of its glorious Sangheili officers. He was to clean, scrub, wait in the shadows for orders, and never speak unless spoken to. Among his other duties, Kwasas was also responsible for the maintenance of storage subdeck K. The mining gear that had exacted the human fortress world reach had been stored on subdeck K. Diggers, earthen conveyors, portable micro-energy projectors, plasma fuel cells, all sat in orderly rows. He'd been ordered to repair and refit everything, a gargantuan task that would take 6 months and the entire K-Deck tribe. It was a crushing responsibility, but also a tremendous opportunity. Kwasas waddled along the dim corridors of subdeck K, admiring its cavern-like expanses and the warmth of the place. Even after 7 years of service to the Covenant, he couldn't help marveling at their copious wealth of heat. After freezing every day of his childhood, watching his family one by one succumb to the Blue Death, heat was something he never took for granted. He spotted a group of laborers playing a game with rocks, jumping them over one another on a grid scratched upon the floor. They laughed and gambled for tiny tanks of compressed organics and audio crystals. Kwasas joined them, lost a few cartridges of formaldehyde, won a file of old BBC, and then wished them well and moved along on his morning patrol. Today, it would be best to keep up appearances. He meandered toward storage sector 3, making sure no one noticed. Kwasas had overheard one Sangheili speak of pods of benzene that required disposal in that sector. Lovely lung gold. He sighed, reliving the pleasure of his last inhale of the sacred aromatic. He slowed his pace, though. Storage Sector 3 was a shadowy realm where only Huragak ventured, as it was full of active plasma conducts. The tentacled, pod-like Huragak never spoke to his kind. Sometimes they fixed things for them, but just as often, they took things apart and left them that way. He'd learned it was best to avoid them, as the Sangheili valued their services. Kwasas ventured into the dim section of the ship. Only the glow from the occasional plasma coil provided an eerie blue light, and the shadows were full of the floating Huragak that whispered to one another in ultrasonic chitters. Tonight, they seemed to move with a greater purpose, floating in pods of three farther into the storage sector. He followed one of these pods and emerged in a round chamber lit by an overhead heat exchanger that dripped fluorescing green coolant. A machine towered in the chamber. It was 5 times his squat height, and it would take 30 Ungoy to circumscribe its curved surface. Dozens of Huragak clustered about the thing, their tentacles gently probing its surface in reverence. The device was bare silver metal, which was a rare thing in Covenant alloys. Kwasas was drawn to the shiny material. He wanted to touch it, take it with him. There were alien pictograms on the side, and he ran his hand over them. Although his tribe had been trained to listen and transcribe alien transmissions as part of their duties, they were forbidden to read. There were 4 pictograms. The first was 3 connected lines. The second was a hollow dot. The third was an angle of 2 lines. The last icon was the same angle inverted with a line horizontal midway between them. N-O-V-A. Many of the Huragak clustered on the far side, and Kwasas gently pushed through them to see what was so interesting. A black box lay on the deck. The Huragak had obliviously removed a panel from the cylinder. A tangle of wires and cabling stretched from a cavity in the cylinder to this box. Inside the box were flashing red, blue, and green lights and many buttons. He knelt and touched a button. A sound came from the box, a curious series of slurps, pops, and deep rumbles that made Kwasas giggle. A rare alien transmission. Treasure indeed. he could perhaps trade this for a rare As the World Turns he'd heard was on M-Deck. The noise stopped, so he touched the button, and the noise repeated to his delight. He strained to decipher the sounds. Like all human transmission, he understood many of the words, but very little of what it actually meant. This voice had a twangy accent. He listened again, straining to understand. "I am Vice Admiral Danforth Whitcomb, temporarily in command of the UNSC military base Reach. To the Covenant Uglies that might be listening, you have a few seconds to pray to your damned heathen gods."
"We have been betrayed by those we trusted most,"
thundered the Imperial Admiral and Regent Command of the Combined Fleet of Righteous Purpose, Jaitan Jar Watanri. He shook both fists as he spoke.
"We have been betrayed by our prophets."
The Sangeli stood over 3.5 meters tall and wore silver armor covered with the gold forerunner glyphs of sacred mystery. In the center of the oration chamber aboard the supercarrier Sublime Transcendence, Jaitan's image was holographically magnified so he towered 30 meters before them, and image replications made his face present in 4 directions simultaneously to the crowd. Jaitan appeared no less than a god. Shipmaster Voro stood at attention and watched the legendary commander. He'd never been defeated in battle. He'd never failed at any task, no matter what the challenge. He was never wrong. The Imperial Admiral's only flaw was that he'd been so revered. Some said even more so than any prophet. For the sin, he'd been exiled to the fringe worlds of the vast Covenant Empire. This had happened before. The former Supreme Commander of the Fleet of Particular Justice had never returned from the glorious mission the prophet sent him on. Jaitan had summoned all the factions of the Sangeli to joyous exultation. He was, in Voro's opinion, their best chance for survival. Voro was one of 30 representative shipmasters who'd been called from 200 vessels in orbit to hear these words.
"I, like all of you, believed in our leaders and their holy covenant," Jaitan continued, his voice resonating off the silver stadium dome overhead. "How could we have been so willing to believe a covenant of lies?"
Jaitan paused and looked out among them. The 30 shipmasters and their guards seemed to be swallowed by the empty space in the chamber, designed for a capacity crowd of 3,000. No one dared speak.
"They have called for the destruction of all Sangeli. They have aligned themselves with the barbaric Jirhalane,"
Jaitan said. He hung his head, and his 4 jaws opened slack for a moment. And then he looked up, a new determination burning in his eyes.
"The great schism is upon us. The unbreakable covenant writ of union has been split asunder. This is the end of the 9th and final age.
A grumble echoed within the oration chamber. These words were the grossest sacrilege. Today, however, they could be the truth. Jaitan held up a hand, and the dissent quelled.
"You must now decide to surrender to fate, or resist and strive to persist. Myself, I choose to fight."
He outstretched both hands to his audience.
"I call upon you all to join me. Let the old ways fade and battle by my side. Together, we can forge a new, better union. A new covenant among the stars."
The Sangeli shipmasters roared their approval. It was an inspired oration, but the prophets had used words to trick them all before, too. Shipmaster Tano had let words and their more dangerous byproduct, beliefs, cloud his reason. Words alone would not help them. Voro crossed his arms over his chest. Amazingly, Jaitan saw this gesture and turned to face him, locking gazes.
"You disagree, shipmaster."
A tomb-like silence smothered the stadium. Voro felt all eyes upon him.
"Speak then, hero of the battle for the second ring of the gods, and de facto commander of the second fleet of homogeneous clarity.
Zhaitan waved him forward and offered him the center pulpit, an unprecedented and generous step for one so high. It stunned Voro to hear such honorifics attached to his name. Zhaitan knew what had happened, who he was. Of course, his intelligence network was legion, and what better way to silence questions than with compliments? Voro, however, had not survived treachery and war and the sundering of an age to be silenced now. He willed himself to step forward. The urge to supplicate before Zhaitan was overwhelming, but he resisted. It took all of Voro's strength to cross that distance with all watching. He stepped upon the center stage, and his image appeared holographically magnified, a titan towering over the crowd.
"I agree with what you say," Voro declared. "We must destroy the Jir-Halane unquestioningly, and all who ally with them. But victory may mean nothing if the disease upon the Holy Ring escapes. It must be cleansed from the galaxy if we are to survive."
A murmur of assent passed through his fellows. Zhaitan nodded as well, and then made a slight gesture with his hand, indicating Voro stepped down. He gave a short bow to the Imperial Admiral and withdrew. Voro made it to his seat, without betraying how he shook inside, without revealing to the others how stunned he was that he had survived. Zhaitan reappeared upon the stage.
"Your words are wisdom, Shipmaster Voro, which is why I have summoned Jir-Halane Alpha leadership under a banner of truce to this world."
An outcry rose from the gathered shipmasters.
"I have no illusions that they come with false offers of peace," Zhaitan said. "So we shall stage our own ambush, here, where we are strong. After we have dealt a decapitating blow to the Jir-Halane Alpha tribes, we will be free to eradicate the infection that threatens to spread from the Most Holy Ring." "As for how to accomplish this," Zhaitan said, "I call upon Oracle Master Barala Armonro to report on a new opportunity."
Zhaitan's image flickered off, and an elderly Sangeli appeared in the center of the stadium. Parala had long ago been counsel to the Prophet of Regret, bent with age. A fierce intellect nonetheless shone in his milky eyes.
"We have most disturbing intelligence," Parala said with distaste. "The humans have wreaked havoc with their demons, destroying the first discovered sacred ring construct. They were at the second ring as well, and have apparently discovered yet another world of Forerunner design. They must not be underestimated."
While this galled Voro, he had seen for himself the human-captured bloodied spirit, and reluctantly attempted to accept the Oracle Master's words as truth.
"Here," Parala said, "is an intercepted and translated human slipspace transmission."
Human voices screeched through the stadium air. A translation overlaid the offensive human words, and Voro listened as the incidents upon the second Halo relic were reported. "Parasitic infestation known as the Flood has contaminated this construct. Attempting to escape. Unknown coordinating intelligence. Suggest Fleetcom Nova bomb the Delta Halo." Then, alien icons appeared in the air, resolving into proper words. "Send elite strike team to recover technological assets from Onyx. Send Spartans." An embedded string of celestial coordinates streamed alongside these words. A collective murmur of outrage came from the shipmasters. Voro strained to isolate the human word for demons from their objectionable speech. Spartans. It heated his blood to a boil. Zhaitan's image returned to the stage.
"This heresy cannot be ignored for reasons dogmatic and strategic. We will go to this world, Onyx, to protect and secure the holy artifacts. They will be of incalculable value in our impending struggles."
Zhaitan extended his titanic holographic hand to Voro.
"You, Shipmaster Voro Mantakri, are now Fleetmaster Voro Nar Mantakri. Lead your newly assembled battle group to this world. Destroy the demons and deny them their prize at all costs.
Voro fell to one knee.
It shall be as you say, he said. My task is holy, my blood pure. I shall not fail.
Secretly, Voro wondered if these honors had been bestowed upon him to remove him and his wise words from Jaitan's chorus of unanimous assent. So be it. He would accomplish his task. He would return glorious.
Kwasas punched the button in the black box and listened to the human voice. He was close to understanding what it meant. A threat. To him. All Covenant. A promise of retribution. The sound distorted, slowed, and stopped. The box was out of power. One of the Huragak watching gave an ultrasonic cry that shot through Kwasas's skull. The creature charged him, tentacles flailing, and grasped at his box. It wrenched it from Kwasas's grasp. Other Huragak charged and tried to take the box from their fellow. Did they understand what the human said? Did they understand the danger? There were more Huragak around him than he'd realized. The shadows rippled with their buoyant bodies, each with six glassy black eyes firmly fixed upon the human voice box. The Huragak rushed the box back to the great cylinder, to the panel where the box had been removed. There were multicolored wires inside that matched those in the box. Huragak twisted these wires together. Tiny sparks danced. Red symbols flickered upon a display in the box, and the device spoke once more. True to their nature, Huragak were just as likely to fix something broken as they were likely to take apart something that worked perfectly. A dozen Huragak pressed closer around the device, all squirming tentacles and glistening eager eyes. The voice from the box started again, now loud and clear. This is the prototype Nova Bomb. 9 fusion warheads encased in lithium triteride armor. When detonated, it compresses its fusionable material to neutron star density, boosting the thermonuclear yield 100-fold. I am Vice Admiral Danforth Whitcomb, temporarily in command of the UNSC military base Reach. To the Covenant uglies that might be listening, you have a few seconds to pray to your damned heathen gods. You all have a nice day in hell.
Kwasas pushed his way through the throng of Huragak. He had to get to the thing, pull those wires. There was a flash of the most beautiful light and more glorious heat than he'd ever.
A battle group of 18 destroyers, 2 cruisers, and 1 carrier collected in high orbit over Joyous Exultation and drew in a spherical formation about their flagship, the Incorruptible. They shimmered blue-white and vanished into slipspace. A heartbeat later, Vice Admiral Whitcomb's ploy of slipping the UNSC prototype Nova Bomb into Covenant supplies had finally paid off. A star ignited between Joyous Exultation and its moon. Every ship not protected on the dark side of the planet boiled and vaporized in an instant. The atmosphere of the planet wavered as helical spirals of luminescent particles lit both north and south poles, making curtains of blue and green ripple over the globe. As the thermonuclear pressure wave spread and butted against the thermosphere, it heated the air orange, compressed it until it touched the ground and scorched a quarter of the world. The tiny nearby moon Malheim cracked and shattered into a billion rocky fragments and clouds of dust. The overpressure force subsided, and 300-kilometer-per-hour winds swept over Joyous Exultation, obliterating cities and whipping tidal waves over its coastlines. The Covenant Schism, the shattering of its client races for 1,000 years, and the genesis of their end had truly begun.